Good morning and welcome to Grow Siouxland. Chris McGowan with the Siouxland Chamber of Commerce and the Siouxland Initiative. So pleased that you have decided to spend part of your Saturday with us on KSEJ and a Powell Broadcasting, a radio station. As we do each Saturday morning, we begin by thanking our program sponsor, Chris Bogenrief of NAI United. Today, we're coming to you from the Chamber of Commerce radio studio located on the lower level of the Chamber building at 101 Pier Street. And as we like to say, the Siouxland Chamber of Commerce is your home for Economic Development 101, Community Enhancement 101, etc. While I am in studio at the Siouxland Chamber, our producer, Mr. Justin Barker, is at Powell Broadcasting in Indian Hills, and we thank and appreciate Justin each day as well. I'm thrilled to be joined with someone who really needs no introduction, but they have not been a guest with us for some time, Debbie Durham, who serves as the director of the Iowa Economic Development Authority and the Iowa Finance Authority. Director Durham, welcome.
Well, good morning. So good to see you.
Thrilled to have you back in Siouxland. Appreciate you joining us for this broadcast. A lot has changed since you last appeared on our Grow Siouxland radio program, beginning with your new role as the director of the Iowa Finance Authority. So as if you weren't busy enough traveling the globe for economic development, they threw a whole nother department at you.
Yeah, so that was happened back in 2019. Governor Reynolds asked if I would take over IFA and co-locate IEDA together.
Has it really been 5 years already?
It really has.
Wow.
Yeah, but 2 years ago, we actually, adopted most of cultural affairs. So all the arts programs, Produce, Iowa, and SHPO are now located with us. So really, anything that touches economic or community development is at our organizations. So it's a one-stop shop.
Including tourism.
Including tourism, international trade, energy office is there. I could go on and on.
Yeah, so what are you going to add next? Holy cow. Like I said, as if you're not busy enough.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
It is a lot. But you know what, Chris? It really is true that if you surround yourself by great people, and I am humbled every day to come to work with the team I have because they are so mission oriented. And these are people that could do, great things in the private sector, but that have chosen either to spend a career with us or to serve as a season of time. So I'm very, very humbled by our team. So it really doesn't matter the size of the organization. As long as you can create a culture and a talent where people want to be there, it really doesn't matter on the size.
Well, Debbie, allow me, if I could, because you're way too humble to do this yourself, a quick outlining of your curriculum vitae, originally from Missouri, came to the Siouxland area with your husband, Joe. He was a cable television executive. You followed, spent a year leading government relations at the Siouxland Chamber of Commerce, and then were asked to fill the role as the president and CEO of the organization, an organization which you served incredibly capably, both the Siouxland Chamber of Commerce and the Siouxland Initiative, for 15 years. I believe that's a record for tenure of service at the Siouxland Chamber, probably getting close to nationally, because as you know, the lifespan for a chamber executive is somewhere in the 6 or 7 year range, and you more than doubled that. And now, of course, Governor Branstad, about 12 or 13 years ago, asked you to lead economic development for the state of Iowa. Governor Reynolds then asked you to continue in that role to support her administration. And of course, Governor Kim Reynolds has expanded your role and responsibility significantly over the years.
Yes, she has. Again, it's an honor to serve both Governor Branstad and Governor Reynolds now. But speaking of tenure, I mean, I think you're approaching, exceeding my tenure here, Chris.
I'm not there yet.
But I've got close.
I have been the president of this organization as long as you have been the director of economic development. We're on similar paths. And, of course, I would be remiss if I didn't say thank you, because it was you who gave me the opportunity coming out of law school some 21 years ago and said, Chris, we need to make a difference in your hometown. And I'm very proud of the work that we did together for seven or eight years. We accomplished a great deal. There's more to be accomplished, but we led the nation in economic development a number of times. And so we're proud of that. Of course, when you were CEO, the Siouxland Initiative twice was ranked among the top economic development organizations in the United States. And of course, you took that legacy to the state and have been leading economic development for the state. And quite honestly, billions and billions in capital investment, mm-hmm. a record you must be enormously proud of.
You know, I am proud of the record, but I have to tell you, you know, it's always the new billion-dollar projects that makes the headlines. But what's more gratifying to me when you see third, fourth generation manufacturers that are adding capital investment and creating jobs have been part of the fabric of communities, you know, because Senator Grassley, I think, is right. Behind every cornfield, there is a manufacturer. And in many small communities, they really are the largest employer in town, very philanthropic and giving. And so it is, to me, more gratifying to see those kind of investments that happen. I mean, sure, the big announcements are fun, but 82% of our portfolio are existing companies expanding.
You're listening to Grow Siouxland on KSEJ, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM, where our guest today is Debbie Durham. Debbie, formerly the president and CEO of the Siouxland Chamber of Commerce and the Siouxland Initiative. For the last dozen plus years, she has served as the director of the Iowa Economic Development Authority in Des Moines, appointed initially by Governor Branstad, retained by Governor Reynolds, and she continues in that role. And it has also expanded into leadership of the Iowa Finance Authority. And in the second half of the program, we'll talk extensively about Debbie's role with the Iowa Finance Authority. Debbie, before we get there, you have maintained your home in Sioux City throughout. You've never left your roots. Of course, you're originally from Joplin, Missouri, mm-hmm. but you've been in Sioux City for approaching 30 years now.
Correct.
And commuting to Des Moines to do that job.
Yeah, I mean, I feel very strongly that Sioux City is my home and will always be our home as long as we are in Iowa. Now that the governor has gotten rid of taxation on retirement and I have three grandbabies up the street, I assume it's going to be our home for many, many years to come. But I really made that intentional. I come home every weekend. You know, I usually leave very early on Monday morning, try to get home sometimes Thursday night or from home on Friday. If not, I get home Friday. That's intentional because this is where home is and this is where we want to be.
Well, and of course, your home this week making a difference with economic development and the Iowa Finance Authority in addressing both homelessness and panhandling. Again, we'll get to that in the second half of the program. But before we do, you mentioned your three grandchildren, the mother of a son, Beau, and a daughter, Jordan. Tell us about your husband, Joe, your family, and your grandkids.
Well, gosh, Joel and I are going on, will be 42 years of marriage coming up this year. He is actually retired, so he is fishing with his brother right now down on the coast. We have three grandsons. In fact, I just was in India with the governor on a trade mission about 2.5 weeks ago when Governor Reynolds, this really talks about the heart of Governor Reynolds too. I happened to mention that Jordan was scheduled to have her baby while we were gone. And she looked at me and she said, then you need to come home. And we can handle this without you. So I did. I actually flew home Zachary was born on the 17th. I flew all night and was there to welcome him into the world when Jordan got back to her room on the 17th.
So Jordan, the mother of three boys,
yeah,
and
Beau, and
the father of two.
Yeah, he and Jessica live out in Long Island. They're both architects out there. And I couldn't be, I think the role I enjoy most, Chris, is Dee Dee. That brings me incredible joy for our grandbabies.
You know, you mentioned Governor Reynolds and her commitment to you, to the state, but also prioritizing your family. I had the occasion to be at an event that she hosted this past weekend in Des Moines at the Iowa State mm-hmm. Fairgrounds. And she was introduced by her title as governor, but they said the title that means the most to her is grandmother, and I'm sure you can relate.
Absolutely. I mean, there is no doubt, you know, her priority is family, and she really stresses that for all of us that have the opportunity to work with her day by day.
Well, and a shout out to Governor Reynolds, who was just recognized by Governing Magazine
yes.
as the only governor yes. among their top officials in 2024. So kudos to her, certainly national recognition of the job that she's doing in her home state.
Listen, what they've been able to do competitively with lower taxes and doing it in a really responsible manner. And when you're getting shout outs from places like the Wall Street Journal and The Economist, because when they first started cutting taxes, The Economist was not too kind. And now they've had to really pivot and say, wow, this is the way to do it. So with her and the legislature, I give them all the credit because now Iowa's now put on the map, Chris. We can actually compete. You couple that with the new mega bill that we passed last year. And again, very proud that, you know, I think we passed it with maybe two dissenting votes. We work really hard at IEDA and IFA to get bipartisan support because economic development is not a partisan issue. And so great support with both sides of the aisle. And, you know, people are starting to pay attention to Iowa.
You know, Debbie, you and I have been doing this together for over 20 years now, and that's the first time that I have heard the statement economic development is not a partisan issue, and you are absolutely right. Economic development is so important regardless of the entity, the jurisdiction you represent, a city, a county, a municipality, a state, a nation for that matter. We all benefit when economic development is done properly.
Well, when you think about it, you know, we want jobs that raise the standard of living for Iowans. We want opportunities in which our citizens can thrive. We want beautiful cities and homes. And I believe that anyone that is good enough to work in our community should be able to live in our community with dignity. I think as a Christian, as an Iowan, that is an imperative. And so when you think about it, we really all want the same things. Now, sometimes there are those issues that divide it, but when it comes to community and economic development, there is no division here. We all want this. And so we've been able to really formulate great relationships with both sides to move forward Iowa. And I think Iowa's a benefit. We can still do that in the state of Iowa, unlike, you know, what you see federally. We can still make things happen in working across aisles. And that's important to me. It always has been.
You're listening to Grow Siouxland on KSCJ Radio, a Powell broadcasting station. Our guest today is Debbie Durham. Director Durham leads both the Iowa Economic Development Authority as well as the Iowa Finance Authority. She was in town this week to meet with community leaders, community advocates, elected officials, business leaders as well, to talk specifically about homelessness, panhandling, and how the Iowa Finance Authority is prepared to help engage in addressing these challenging issues. We'll be back with Director Durham and talk about the Iowa Finance Authority after this short commercial break. Welcome back to Grow Siouxland. Chris McGowan with the Siouxland Chamber of Commerce and the Siouxland Initiative. So pleased that you've decided to spend part of your Saturday with us. If you were with us during the first half of the program, you know that our guest today is Debbie Durham. Debbie, the longtime president and CEO of the Siouxland Chamber of Commerce, before she was tabbed and asked by Governor Terry Branstad to lead economic development for the entire state of Iowa. She has continued in that role at the invitation of Governor Kim Reynolds. And Debbie, give us a quick synopsis and summary of how Iowa is doing presently in economic development and what you believe the future looks like.
Well, I think Iowa's doing very well. You know, we are seeing some weakness, obviously, in some ag, and there's some softness, therefore, that translates into manufacturing. But our pipeline is full. I will say, you know, this is typical every year when you have a presidential election. A lot of big projects are sitting on the sideline because they don't know, you know, what direction the country's going to go. But even with that, I think we're positioned for really strong growth. I mean, the good thing is we have a diversified economy, so that serves us well.
And municipal entities and economic development organizations throughout Iowa have performed well. Mm-hmm. The Siouxland community, of course, leading per capita economic development in Site Selection magazine. Mm-hmm. I mentioned the governor had an event in Des Moines this past weekend. She welcomed Governor Greg Abbott of Texas, who boasted about Texas' national ranking in Site Selection magazine. But our communities have fared very well in those annual rankings as well.
We can hold up our rankings as well with Texas. And again, when I say all eyes are on Iowa, that is really, really true. And we hear that over and over again from site selectors that we're on the radar now that we've become so competitive. And, you know, Governor Reynolds really deserves all the credit for that.
Yeah, she does deserve a lot of credit. And she has told me privately that she wants to address some of the tax inequities that we see in the tri-state area, South Dakota, with a nationally recognized tax climate. And the governor said, Chris, we're here to compete and my job won't be done until I feel that we're in a position to effectively do so with any state in the nation. Mm-hmm. So compliments and congratulations to her and to you for that effort and that work in making Iowa competitive for economic development. But I want to talk about the other hat that you wear as well, Debbie, and that is the Iowa Finance Authority. I'm very familiar with your work at IEDA because I, too, am an economic development professional. I know precious little about the Iowa Finance Authority, but I'm grateful that you were here earlier this week to meet with community leaders and talk about what IFA does and what a difference they can make in addressing some of the challenges in our own Sioux City community.
Well, IFA is actually one of the most significant organizations in state government that nobody knows anything about. So I would liken it to a state bank. IFA has a portfolio of over $5 billion. We receive no tax dollars, right? So we fund all of the IFA staff, including half of my salary, with basically the money that we make. So we lend, for instance, we do all the bonding for the state. Now, whoever set this up years ago was a genius because they created this. We're a separate instrumentality of the state, but the debtness that we take on for IFA or for the state of Iowa, it does not translate to the taxpayer. Right? We have a AAA bond rating. I mean, the people in our finance come from Wall Street. It is pretty remarkable. So when you look at the sewer and water projects around the state, we fund those for the cities. We fund them at a discounted rate through our bonding capacity and our revolving loan fund. We lend to banks for first-time home buyers or income qualified. So again, it's tremendous. We do all the federal tax credit programs for housing. And we run all the, you know, we partner with HUD and run all the homeless programs. So it really is the entity that nobody knows. Now, when you think about the significance of bringing that with IEDA, because when you're thinking of developing communities, it's not just about creating this business climate, which, you know, businesses prosper and certified sites. It is about housing and water quality and all of those things so that make up, you know, community development. And now we have the resources in one organization. Now, they will never be combined. IFA and IEDA will never be combined. But in code now, there will always be a single director. And the reason why is because of the bond portfolio and the separation of that. But when you walk into our office at 1963 Bell, you don't know who works for who, right? Because we work as one team, as it should be. So it is a significant operation with significant resources. And being able to couple that with the resources and the talent of IEDA, it's really been very transformational. So we can strategically programs in a much more strategic way, and I would say in a much more transformational way.
You're listening to Grow Siouxland on KSEJ, where our guest today is Director Debbie Durham, who leads both the Iowa Economic Development Authority as well as her relatively new role in the past 5 years leading the Iowa Finance Authority. Debbie, I didn't realize that there are no taxpayer dollars utilized. That is truly a remarkable.
It is. It's completely self-sustaining. I mean, we run a couple of small programs for the legislature, but I mean, that's, but no, all of our salaries are paid by just really, you know, because we are a business. We run like a business. The other thing we have that most people don't realize on the IFA side is we have title guarantee, which is really a insurance program. We run an independent insurance company along with that. And so these are things that people have no idea. And when I talk about a $5 billion portfolio, that doesn't include the private insurance company. So, so yeah, it's significant.
Truly extraordinary. And I will ask this question. I worked for you for 7.5, 8 years, so I know how hard you go, how motivated you remain. How long did it take to learn all the ins and outs? Because that's not really your background.
It is not. You know, I had worked with them, so I understood the programming side. The finance part was the part that I really had to lead. Luckily, for both IEDA and IFA, we have an independent board of directors. And we have one of the strongest boards for IFA, and they by intentional, meaning that we have people that are leading it that really have strong financial backgrounds. But yeah, it's very, and I've learned a lot, Chris.
And Debbie, tell us again, you were in town earlier this week to meet with community leaders to specifically talk about IFA and how it may be in a position to help address some of the challenges we face in our community related to homelessness?
Yeah, so first of all, the homeless situation is not unique for Sioux City. We see it across the state, right? And I wish...
And across the nation.
But
and it's the gravity of the situation in other metros is far more significant, but we're trying to get ahead and address it in a compassionate and efficient way.
Yeah, and honestly, I really want to compliment the city because I think they're doing a lot of things right. What I think is missing, whether it's here or Des Moines struggling with the same issue, and even places like Ottumwa, it is really about building an ecosystem. It has to be a support system. You need various, because you need to meet people where they are in this system. And and there's been some other places. Texas is one place that we're really looking at working with HHS. Dallas has done some really interesting programs that we find intriguing. So that's what we were here to talk about, was basically what's happening here. It seems like you have a lot of service providers. If I had one, not criticism, but one thing that's from at least from my perspective, it doesn't seem there's a lot of coordination between them. So I think there's a lot of great service providers in this space, but it needs to be a continuum of care that's highly coordinated, Chris. And then I do think there are some missing pieces out of it. Now, what we're here to do is say, look, you need to solve this. I'm not here to tell the city how to solve this. What I am to say is we're here with all kinds of resources to partner with you once you determine what your course is.
Well, and as you point out, constructive feedback, we need to coordinate those entities. And of course, thanks to your leadership, on Tuesday of this past week, you brought together a group representing the public sector, the private sector, the warming shelter, Hope Street, law enforcement, city council, and the business community. And that's a great step. So we thank you for being here. And thanks for being our guest on Grow Siouxland.
It's been great. Thank you.
And please give our regards to your children, grandchildren, and your spouse, Joe. And of course, to the governor as well. We appreciate her leadership and we appreciate everything that you do. And the miles that you rack up from here to Des Moines, to Davenport, and to places like India and beyond. Thanks for all you do.
Thank you, Chris.
We'll be back with more on Grow Siouxland next Saturday morning. Enjoy some beautiful fall weather. Get some of those leaves raked and watch some football. We'll be back next Saturday morning. Have a great weekend.